When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This week on Brumeats World.
If I were Topanga, I would never forgive Sean for this wedding day. And we can
people
can,
I would like never... It's the dude she's marrying. Let's not forget. You say you blame Sean.
No one is in the right here. Corey, I don't approve. Sean, I don't approve. And I feel like Topanga should have beef with both of these dudes.
If you accept Topanga's choices for him, are you saying that you know Topanga better than Topanga knows Topanga? You saying women shouldn't have choices? Is that what you
saying? I'm saying she needs better choices.
When this boy meets world.
What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bro Meets World.
When it's Bro Meets World.
Your boy meets world fun, because I'm Siege.
And I'm Tony Curtis.
I gotta tell you, I'm in like really high spirits and everything, mostly because I've been listening to this this song by Drake called Rich Baby Daddy. Have you heard it at all?
I have not heard Rich Baby Daddy yet.
It's been trending. It was trending on TikTok. Like, this is like came out like in November. And a girl re-recorded it, but like in a gospel way. So it's like a Drake song but with the gospel vocals. And that is also like very hilarious. Just making the rounds. I'll send it to you. But the lyrics are, if I may, bend that ass over, let that coochie breathe.
Oh, I've heard the Kiki Palmer version of this.
Yeah. Well, well, you're talking about the Kiki Palmer. That's not Kiki.
That's not. Okay. That's what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Seen this reference, this video reference. Yeah.
I do look like everyone's like, it says Kiki under it, but it's not Kiki. Anyway. Yeah. So that's just been playing in my head on loop. So I don't know. I'm going to, it's like good vibe music.
You know what? I have to say, like, Spotify has been really coming through. Have you listened to like your day list?
I haven't because my head has been down in podcasts for several reasons. But
Spotify just started this thing called a day list, which is basically like, hey, based off of your listening history, we feel like Wednesday mornings are more like, this is more your vibe. And ooh. I've been getting some great day lists lately, finding some great new music. I'm excited.
Oh, I'll try it. Yeah. Because I'm definitely in the market for new music. So yeah, speaking of new, the Pod Meets World Gang has a new podcast out. I don't know if you heard
about it. I have.
Magical Rewind.
A rewind of Disney Channel original movies, as well as Wonderful World of Disney content. Correct. They're doing My Date with the President's Daughter. By the way, our version now on Patreon.
I was totally going to do that because, all right, so I listened to it. It's Will, and I don't know her full name, but her name is Sabrina. She's from...
Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, exactly. And they are doing Disney original movies. And so I thought that was really fun. And a lot of what you and I spoke about with my date with the President's Daughter, they actually also called out for. So I just thought that was really fun because it is like a way to, as even what we're doing with this podcast, like you have certain realizations and you look at something, and you're like, "What? I was a kid. I thought this was fun." And then I watched it again.
Yeah.
and I saw some things. So, yeah.
Pretty much my entire reaction to the movie Blank Check during rewatch.
Right. When they get to Blank Check, that's one that we should put our name in the hat in. I was like, how do we get on for
That is not a DCOM movie. That was released into cinemas. That was a popcorn with your parents, awkward ride home kind of movie.
That's not DCOM. I thought, you know what? It's on. It was on Disney Channel so often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I put us down, or at least I put our names out for Brandy Cinderella and Toothless starring Kirstie Alley.
Manifest both of those, please. Love Toothless.
So R. if you're Kirstie listening Alley. To us, please send in your notes saying the Bros want to be on for those two episodes. Anyway, as we had said, we have the episode on our Patreon. So if you guys would like to support the podcast, please go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/Brumbeatsworld. You can also support us on YouTube. You guys, we made 500 subscribers. All because of you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Let's add to it. Double it up.
100%. That doesn't mean we stop. That just means you guys got us there, and we really, really, truly appreciate it. And as always, reach out to us at brummeetsworld@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us at brummeetsworld on all of the platforms. You guys are constantly talking to us on Reddit. You're talking to us on Instagram. You're talking to us on YouTube. And we are talking back, so let us know what you think about all these things. And now that we have done all of the chit-chat, the promo stuff, I would love to tell you about this week's episode. First and foremost, we have a classic. A classic episode. We're going to get there. We have a classic, a iconic Boy Meets World episode today. And we also have a very special guest. We have a guy named Tyler Young, who runs the 90s Kid Throwbacks Instagram account. He has over 416,000 followers. Wow. And this guy is everything you want when you talk about retro and nostalgia and 90 kid stuff. So he will be talking to us a little bit later. But until then, I think it's time we get into this episode. Hey, are you ready to talk about It's About Time? It's About Time.
Okay. Yeah, all right, let's do this. I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this one, but I'm writing from the heart here.
Okay.
Tell us about it. Yeah, the wedding day is here. 7 years in the making, and what could go wrong? How about Corey centering his relationship with Sean?
Yay! Thank you. We love it. Again, this is the season seven, episode seven. It's About Time. Corey and Topanga finally tie the knot, but not without dealing with Sean's concerns for his future friendship with Corey and Eric arranging his brother to have a nicer upscale wedding at a hotel. I gotta tell you, I can already see, based on what you said, you and I may feel differently about this episode, because right off the bat, I loved this episode. I loved it. It's probably my favorite of the season so far. I do have nitpicks, so I will go into that, but
sure,
this is my favorite episode so far.
You know, it's we probably do feel a little bit differently about it. Based on my tell me about it, you can tell that, like, I really feel like Corey and Topanga kind of got cheated out of having a bigger moment. Like, I really wanted their relationship to be the central focus, and I never felt like it really was until, like, the vows. Like, did I feel like we kind of circled back to, like, why they were getting married to begin with? So it just felt like an episode about a wedding that wasn't about the couple getting married, and it was kind of weird for me. So I wanted more, but we can get into it.
It's funny that you say that, because when I was watching this, I had kind of, like, the same thought, but I remembered we've spoken to several Boy Meets World writers at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And they all say the same thing. Corey and Sean are the central relationship. And in a show where Corey and Sean are the central relationship, it makes sense that on Corey's wedding day, they would need to address him and Sean.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
No, I think they could, and I think they should. I don't know if that should have been the focal point of this episode, is all I'm saying.
Okay, it's cool that you say that. Really quickly, there are a couple of roll calls I just want to get into. Mm-hmm. Number one is we have Willie Garson, who comes back. I don't know if you guys remember. He played Leonard Spinelli. He played Mervin. And now he's playing the minister. This is his fourth and final episode of Boy Meets World.
I wish he played it as Lenny. I wish they just said, like, dad's friend Lenny is gonna, like, what a
throwback. Yeah, that would have been, like, cool. That would have been cool. Absolutely. Then we have David Jacobs, Josh Jacobs, and Rachel Jacobs as the, I guess you could say, wedding party. That's the flower girl, the ring bearer.
Pause. Can I just say, I didn't even look at the IMDb. I knew that was nepotism. I knew those were Michael Jacobs' kids because that's the same Joshua that shows up next year as Joshua Matthews. So I was like, all right, Michael Jacobs, I see what you're doing.
I don't think it's the same. I'll look, but I don't think it's the same one. But I will say that I watched it and I was like, who are these kids? Like, we don't get any in-world explanation for who these kids are, why they're in, like they are credited as cousin Josh, cousin, you know, Rachel or whatever, but we don't learn that. We don't know these are cousins. We don't know who these kids are. And I have nitpicks, a lot of what I have nitpicks with is not the story, it's the logic of the world and the day that we're living.
Sure. You know what? I will say this before we like kind of jump into like the specifics of everything. I thoroughly enjoyed Eric in this episode. I liked a lot of the dynamics that I saw. Most of this episode, I'm on board with. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Like, I'm not completely against it. There's just things that I just, as like 7 years in the making, the big Ross and Rachel, Sam and Diane, like they're finally getting married. This couple we supported. I wanted a more of a romantic, heartfelt, like event that kind of like celebrated their relationship. But to your point, Sean is kind of a part of that relationship. So much so
that he's at the altar. Like, again, like we're really getting into it. So first of all, what I do want to say is, you bring up something that when I was doing my research for this episode, a lot of people said that they thought this should have been a two-part episode. And I agree because there are some leaps that we take specifically with the wedding. The idea that Topanga and Topanga's parents are there. This is a big moment. We had a whole fallout and they're back again and they're back in the same room for the first time. And this other woman that Topanga's dad left his mom for isn't referenced or mentioned or anything. But
is she there? Is she his date that would have been so good to get into?
Exactly. You have the wedding party. You have the fact that this wedding, technically, even though we do start off in the Matthews living room, which again doesn't make sense considering the number of people who we were told they wanted to invite and the number of people who show up to this wedding.
There's so many holes to poke in that exactly. wedding storyline. But, oh my God.
But like having some kind of line or information that explain who these cousins are and giving maybe Morgan a little bit of a storyline of like being a bridesmaid and not necessarily the flower girl and having competition with Rachel Jacobs, you know, like all these other things. I think,
why is Morgan not the flower girl? There's so many questions. Okay. So I have a lot to say about everything you just said.
Yeah.
Should it have been a two-parter? Absolutely. To my critique I had last week, why is this thrown in the middle of November and kind of not really given much attention or special treatment? The reason why it's all has to move so quickly is because if you slow down even a little bit, it all starts to fall apart. The fact that everyone for years has been rolling their eyes about Eric, but as soon as Eric's like, I have a limo, everyone go outside right now. And they're like, yep, no questions. Yep, let's go.
You're right. You're right.
What are we doing?
There were lots of things in this episode where I was like, you know what? We're just going with it. It's fine. And I feel like that's kind of the thought because there is so much put into the Corey and Sean of it all. All right. So let me just start from the top. And in the top is we open up and we get a moment of Topanga and she's with Rachel and Angela and her mom and she's getting ready. It's her wedding day. And I was like, oh, great. We have a scene where all of the women are here.
Yeah.
Her mom is here. It's like, I feel like, yes, we don't get this very often. And then immediately she goes, I just want Corey to have the best day. And I was like, really? Really? It's your wedding day, and we can't even let you have this.
Bruh, it was never Topanga's wedding day. At any point in the episode, it was never about Topanga at all. So, yes. I mean, we can get into that. One thing I just want to mention, I forgot that Topanga's mom was in this episode. I think earlier in the season, I was like, I don't know if these people even ever come back again. But no, I'm surprised at how well they've been able to weave them through. And I liked her mom being there, helping her get ready. Like, the look that her mom and dad give each other later on in the episode. Like, I think that, like, if you had to do it in one episode, you got enough in there to satisfy me.
I agree with you, but I also agree that looking at it, like, ever since someone mentioned the idea that it should be two-parters, like, this felt like a script that was two parts and then condensed, because when her dad goes be good to each other, there's a whole storyline there. I'm like, oh, this is good. I would love for there to have been a storyline where Topanga's parents are like, we're going to be in the first in a room together for the very first time, and we have to come together and do what's best for our daughter. Topanga being like, thank you, daddy, for which, by the way, last time we spoke to her dad, she said, get out.
We had no resolution. Yeah. Apparently off screen. That's what I mean. So much shit had to happen off screen in order to get to that point.
Including someone pointed out that Topanga in this episode has a new wedding dress. There are new bridesmaids dresses. And remember, last week, this was last week that we said planning a wedding is too much for us. We're going to pare it back. And I'm not saying that I wanted to see those that wedding dress or those bridesmaids dresses. I'm saying that you told us Topanga had too much going on. It was too cumbersome. No one was aligned. And we could not take the time to do this right in June. So we're going to do it next week. And then next week we have brand new everything that takes so much time to like align on.
So much time, and so much is like changes without Topanga's knowledge or input or anything on her wedding day. Like, yeah, we're seeing her get ready at the beginning, but it's getting ready for a wedding that she had no say in. Like, she said last week, I'm overwhelmed. I want to cut back. I want to kind of take things simple. Like, I actually think that would have been a really nice thing to have a really simplistic, beautiful, like, remember in, Friends, when Chandler proposes to Monica and she walks into the apartment and there's just candles everywhere. It's very simple, but it's very elegant and pretty. And it's like, you could have done something like that to like dress up a space that we've always seen and kind of add a little touch of elegance to it. I just feel like, again, like this seems like no one is paying attention to what Topanga wants or how she feels about any of this. I don't know. I have a lot of sympathy for her character in this episode.
Understandably, because I think, if you, again, if you look at it from Topanga's point of view, I love this episode because I think as far as a Boy Meets World episode, it does a really good job of discussing the characters who we've come to know so far in season seven. Not the characters we remembered as children, not the characters from season two, season five, any of that. Yep. The characters who we now are living with in season seven, it does a really good job of remembering who they are. And it does a really good job focusing on what the show has always argued is the main couple, Corey and Sean. And because of that, I liked this episode. However, if you look at this episode from Topanga's perspective, it is, to what you said, where's Topanga in this? Like, where's Topanga in any of this? She is not having the wedding that she said she wanted. She wanted something pared down. It's now this grand thing. She has both her parents there, which is really good, but we have no real history with her or her parents or why they've come to, they are now compatible again. They are allowed to be in the same room. The clothes look different. She gets shorter vows than Corey, I believe. And she literally, while the wedding is going down, or the fight during the wedding is going down, she is sidelined. She's literally on the sidelines and comes in just to like tap Sean on the shoulder and be like, hey, I think I've been patient enough.
Okay, so now you're pulling a T and moving ahead. I have so much to say about that. But let's talk about Sean, because right after Topanga's like, I want Corey to have a perfect day, Sean comes in and is super upset with Corey, calls him a miserable white boy, which I love.
Oh, wait, no. What he says, because I was waiting. What he says is, Topanga goes, I love him so much. And Sean enters, very sitcom, being like, I hate him. He is, sorry, I wrote it down. He is a selfish, self-centered, whiny white boy. And I was like, okay, white boy. He's been hanging out with Angela. Yep. Because even right then, Angela has a line, goes, well, what's going on, my brother? And I was like, that was fun. It's underplayed.
Yeah. But
that was very intentional. And I feel like, because Trina says that they tell her to pull back the blackness every once in a while. I feel like, what's going on, my brother, should have been said with like a hint of irony and should have been played up more just as a joke. Because Sean comes in and says, he is a self-centered, whiny white boy. And that white boy is very specific. So that was my whole note.
And here's the thing I want to say about this whole interaction. Sean comes in and he's complaining. He's like, you know what? He's driving me crazy. He's having me do all these things. Basically, what Sean is trying to communicate is, hey, the white boy Corey that we've all put up with for forever, that's always a bit too much, is extra too much right now. He has an important day where he can basically call the shots that he wants, and he's really testing our relationship. He's asking a lot of me. I feel a lot of pressure. I feel overwhelmed. Correct. And I feel like I'm trapped serving him at this time because I'm in this wedding predicament. And the entire time, Angela's like, well, what's this really about? What's this really about? What's this really? And I'm like, he just kind of told you. Like, someone please listen to Sean, because I feel like he has valid arguments here. I don't know.
I agree and I don't agree. I agree because part of what you're saying is Corey's always this way. And so she's like, yeah, but that's Corey. You know, so she's like, so what is this really about? And he even says, what does he say? He says something along the lines of, you'd think on his wedding day, he'd realize how hard this is for me. And I was like, that is the thesis statement of this episode. The real issue that Angela can see, and I think that everyone kind of gets, which is why they let this play out the way that it does, is that Sean does not have family. Literally, he has no one, because Jack at this point in time is just Eric's boyfriend. They never have a conversation, but he has no family. And because he has no family, Corey has been his surrogate brother. He has been his surrogate family. He has been so much to Sean, and he means so much to Sean. And the idea that Corey is getting married, and he knows for a fact that once Corey gets married, his place in Corey's life is going to be reduced. It has to be in order for Corey to have a successful marriage. That's a really big thing. And it's big of Sean to realize, and it's big of Sean to want to discuss. And I think that it's valid. I also think that it's not great for him to come and say that to Topanga, considering that this is her wedding day.
Well, but him having that conversation with Sean,
go ahead.
Topanga literally like choke slams him against the door afterwards and like physically assaults him until he agrees to be cool about it. We'll ignore that, whatever. To your point that I just want to say real fast is everything you're saying is correct. Sean, and under this light, Sean has every reason to be nervous about his relationship with Corey. I don't take away from that at all. Everything is accurate that you said. I'm saying that within the episode, specifically like last season, when Corey was kind of like, do I want to be married? Do I not want to be married? Like all of that shit. It just feels like there have been enough storylines of like Sean feeling like his relationship with Corey is going to end because of a thing that like, I don't know. Okay. My main problem, this idea that like, oh, Corey's getting married, so hey, take care of him for me. Hey, this is the last time we're best friends. And I'm like, no. We should be encouraging Corey to have a best friend and have friendships, even though he's entering a marriage, because those who have outside friendships do better within their relationships. So, like, that's kind of why I was like, I get it, but I also kind of disagree with this entire thesis that he has to like hand off Corey to Topanga because they got married. Realistically, when you're friends with an engaged couple and then they get married, not much changes. You're still going to game night. You're still like doing that. Yes, there are shifts, but it's not like I'm never seeing you again. I would argue that a friend getting pregnant or having a baby is way more of a disturbance to that friendship than a couple couple getting married. So that's where I'm coming from.
I'm going to volley right back to you.
Okay,
and I'm going to say this. Like, for there are two things that we need to understand. One, we are in the 90s. And in the 90s, a man getting married is the equivalent of a woman getting pregnant. In the sense that your life is forever changed now. I won't see, like, they don't have cell phones, which, by the way, I'm going to bring up, they don't have cell phones later on, but they don't have cell phones. They don't have social media. They don't have all the things that we usually have to stay in touch with each other. Yes, you can always have phone calls and write, but the reality of the situation is once a man gets married, that he is saying, my wife is now the priority relationship in my life. Which is a good thing. That's good for your marriage. And I agree with you that a healthy marriage would also maintain a friendship. However, a lot of people in general are not good at balancing one relationship, let alone multiple relationships. So they put their all, and this is, I'm not saying that this is his fault. I'm saying that we have been trained to put our all into our partner and ask our partner to be everything for us. And in that mindset, it is understandable that Corey would end up pulling away from Sean so that he can invest in his marriage. In fact, I would say, and I'm going to say this like a little personal story. I had a friend who we hung out all the time in the last few years. We were like always doing stuff. He was at my wedding. We were like doing stuff. And then he got a girlfriend. And I completely acted immaturely in the sense that like I was kind of upset. I kind of pulled away from him. And one day, you know, he and I just had it out. And I was like, here's the thing. I knew that the moment you got that girlfriend, I would not see you anymore. My schedule hasn't changed. Your schedule hasn't really changed. But the mere fact that you have a girlfriend now, you're not going to think, hey, what is CJ up to? Let's go hang out and grab a movie or whatever. You're going to think, what is she doing? How can I spend more time with her? And that's just the reality.
But that's someone who like, hey, you were single and we had a friendship. Now you're entering a relationship and your priorities are changing. So now the dynamics of our friendship are changing. Let me ask you, have Sean and Corey not been friends the entire time he's been dating Topanga?
Yes. Yes.
And really take a look at this after this episode. Does their friendship change really that much afterwards? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm
not disagreeing. I'm saying that the episode's argument, and we're doing that thing again that you and I do, where I'm talking about the episode and you're talking about the story arc. And I get it. I think it's worth, we need to have both. But for me, this episode is making one argument.
Yeah.
And that argument is that the most important person in Corey's life up until this moment has been Sean. We've watched for 6.5 seasons as the most important relationship that he's had, the most important, the most consistent, has been Sean. And now there is a handing of the baton. There is a change of the guard. There is a who gives this man away? And it's Sean who has to say, hey, you should be his best friend. And because of that, I have like my feelings. I don't have my father anymore. I don't have my mother anymore. Yeah. I don't have security anymore. You have been my safe space. And
all of that I agree with. And I see, and it's clearly in the episode. And I would even argue that this point is actually driven home for me more. And I'm sorry, we're kind of jumping around. But no. When Topanga and Angela and Rachel are having their conversation about like, yo, we're going to be the same, except you're moving out and you're going to get married and you're probably going to have kids. And kind of drove that home and articulated that sentiment a little bit better for me, because also, you know, especially thinking about the 90s, this idea of like, hey, we were living as roommates and now you're getting married. So you're moving in with your person for the first time. This was like, you weren't living together before you got married. So it was kind of a bigger change, I guess, than this idea of just like, oh yeah, we went over to your place before when you were dating and now you're married. And I
think you're misunderstanding the codependency of it all. And what I'm saying is...
No, I actually think that codependency is the bigger thing, too, that no one's talking about. Why is no one calling Sean out on this codependency so much so that he's going to fuck over Topanga's wedding day because he couldn't deal with his feelings about everything? Like, it's problematic, actually.
No. Again, I'm not disagreeing that it's not problematic or that it's not codependent. I'm not even saying that it's healthy. Because let's just be honest here. We are rooting for Topanga to get married to someone who, in the middle of her wedding, picks a fight with his best man, has a literal fight with his best man, then takes a moment on the side to tell his best man, hey, do you really like her? And again, understandably, because Sean has been like, I've watched you guys. Yeah. Is this real? And then recorded to be like, yeah, it is. It's like, okay, thank you for all of that. However, it is my wedding day. And even like Topanga going back and forth, but Topanga goes earlier, you love him more than I love him.
Mm.
It's a fact. And I've decided to just deal with it.
Yeah, I think you're right that we have to make Corey and Sean the center relationship and that relationship is transitioning. We have to just accept that. We have to just accept that this is all about Corey and Sean. Correct. At Topanga's wedding and be correct. Fine with it in order to enjoy the episode.
Correct.
And I'm saying that, like, I'm not that fine with it, but I can see why everything else is enjoyable.
Yeah, no. It's so funny that you said that because I would have felt, I think there are a few things. One, I've been listening to our old episodes and, you know, some of the things, and I was like, oh, we were really harsh on that. And I think that a part of me is like, oh, I can get into the weeds of it and it become like this college dissertation on like society and relationships and all this other stuff. Like, but I do kind of take a step back and be like, but it's also a sitcom. You know? And for a sitcom, am I enjoying what I'm supposed to enjoy from a sitcom? Am I learning the lessons that I'm supposed to learn? And I remember this episode so vividly. And not only do I remember this episode, I think I know several men who remember and cite this episode when they are getting married, as especially when they have like a rift with their best friend, because it's a perfect example of you were the most important relationship in my life as a man, other than my spouse. And I have to pull away from you. And we don't have a lot of media that talks about how big of a deal it is.
Yeah.
You have to let go of the most important relationship that's been in your life so that they can be with someone else.
Can I add something to that? I feel like another large contributor to everything you're talking about is Corey and Topanga's age. They are at an age when you are 19 years old, you have your friends are your entire world. Your friends are your entire life. And like us in our mid-30s, like thinking about like the friends we went to high school and college with, like, yeah, we were really close, but then we naturally fell apart. And like, yeah, we might get invited to a wedding, we might see them here and there, but like that, we've kind of accepted that that's part of life already because we're just a little bit more mature. Whereas them being 18, 19 years old, getting married or however old they're supposed to be, I could see that being more of a larger lifestyle change. And I could also see why they're kind of like, maybe not even understanding exactly what marriage is, even though they all kind of have these understandings and fears and anxieties about it. It's just kind of this thing that grownups do to them. So I don't really even know that they know what they're getting into at this point. And I kind of wish that was more of the focus.
Exactly. But like, no, I agree with you. I think that the episode does a good job at least just bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I can't think of other examples other than like, maybe Scrubs, but like I can't think of other examples of like friendships in television where someone was getting married and the men were like, oh, I have to let you go. And that's kind of weird for me because you're not my partner, but you're my partner.
Sure.
If that makes any sense, you know? And we don't get that very often.
What I will say, and here, let me talk about what I did like about the Corey and Sean dynamic. I like this idea that, you know, they've kind of been bickering all day. you know, Sean feels underappreciated, which I can completely yep. understand that. I couldn't really sympathize too much with Corey, who was kind of nitpicking everything Sean did. You're trying to sabotage my wedding when it's clear that Sean's running all over the place doing things for him. But it comes up later that Corey's like, I've been specifically sending you away because I'm not ready to have this conversation. And I actually thought that was a very like, bruh, thing yeah. is to show that like men will do anything but talk about their feelings in a yeah. way. Yeah. And this idea of like, I'm going to give you all the tasks in the world. I'm gonna let you say you're not even coming to the wedding and pretend like I'm okay with it.
Yes.
Simply because I don't want to have this conversation. So if I'm just focusing on their friendship, I kind of love that whole thing about it.
Exactly. Because what happens is we get, you were talking about like Corey is angry and nitpicky at Sean. Even more so than usual. And I like mm-hmm. that they acknowledge that. Like, what I like more about this episode is this episode acknowledges who Corey has become. They're like, you know how Corey's constantly a little bitch? Yeah. A little bitch boy that we all have to put up with? Yeah, well, he's maxed that today. And everyone's like, that sounds like Corey. You know, like that. Yeah. I liked that it acknowledged that. But I also liked that they gave reason for Corey to be like, what's wrong with you? And you can see it in Ben's performance where he's like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. So I'm being nitpicky because it's easier for me to be angry at you than it is for me to be sad about what I already know you know.
Yeah.
And you keep trying to pull me into this conversation that I don't want to have because men are not supposed to cry over other men. Men yeah. are not supposed to feel this way. That's what we're seeing, but we're approaching the conversation. And I love that they did this because it paired true to who Sean has become, who is a sensitive person, who has done self-reflection, and who Corey is, who is not a sensitive person, who is completely self-centered, but he does understand the large leap that he's making, at least when it comes to his relationship with Sean. And I liked that. And then when we get to the wedding and Topanga goes, and this is the part where, again, I was like, and we're rooting for this. Topanga goes, what are you thinking about? And he goes, I can't believe Sean's not here.
It's like, yes.
Okay, kind of a problem.
Again, what are we doing? And Topanga's just like, I love you too. And I'm like, girl, you deserve more than this. It's your wedding day. You deserve better.
But it's a funny beat. It's a funny beat.
Well, you know what's not a funny beat? Topanga giving her vows, the camera panning, and Sean is standing right next to
her. You said it wasn't. I loved it. That is sitcom comedy. That idea, because again, if it was just out of nowhere, no. But because the entire episode builds up to the tension that is Corey and Sean, and then for you to see that they have reconciled, and Topanga already said earlier in the episode, I have accepted this relationship for what it is in my marriage. So for them to just be side by side, holding each other after Topanga's vow, and then for Corey to go, I gotta talk to her now. Codependent? Yes. Unhealthy? Absolutely. Would you ever stand for this in real life? Not at all. But as far as a sitcom beat goes, it makes sense. And to me, I found it funny.
You know why I didn't enjoy it was because it literally just came off of the heels of Sean interrupting the entire ceremony, picking a fight with the groom, asking Corey at the altar, do you even really like her? And then like, you just like imagine being at a ceremony and like 10 minutes was taken up with some bullshit happening at front and you're just sitting there like, what do we do? Do we say, do we go? Like the bride is just standing on the stage waiting for them to wrap up this conversation. And after all of that is said and done, he still doesn't allow Topanga and Corey to have a moment. He is still inserting himself. And I know it's a joke, haha, the codependent, but like, and again, I want more for Topanga. And like,
and I think that's what it is. I think, all right, let's do an experiment. Let's just do an experiment. Let's accept, we're going to accept what the story is telling us, which is that Topanga has accepted this and she's okay with it. And just like any other friend that you have who's in a relationship that you do not support, once you realize that you can't change what they want for themselves,
sure,
you accept it and you take it for what it is. So let's accept Topanga's choices.
All right, hold on. Let me just let me just accept that Topanga's my homegirl and she's about to marry some dude I'm not that cool with, but she's happy. So you know what? I'm just going to let this go. I'm just going to let it go.
Exactly.
And as long as you happy, girl, that's fine.
Exactly. Okay. And here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you this. I personally, I agree with you, but I have taken myself out because I just keep remembering that the central relationship in this is Corey and Sean. And if that's the case, then this is a beautiful wedding episode. I actually can't think too much about Topanga because this series has told me that the most important relationship is Corey and Sean. So because of that, I look at this and we haven't even talked about the fight, which we got to get into.
Yeah.
Which is, you said it, and I thought it was very interesting. What happens is, Sean goes, previously, I don't want to even be a part of this. Find someone else to do it. And Corey's like, fine. And I'm with you where I'm like, everyone should be like, hey, like, temperatures are high. Amy Allen say nothing. No one says anything.
No one says Beanie doesn't say anything.
No one. Then we get to the wedding. They're having the ceremony. The ceremony has started. Now, they do bring a good reason, which is that Eric has forgotten the rings. We're going to get into the Eric storyline, everyone. Don't worry. Eric has forgotten the rings. Sean comes and says, hey. He does not interrupt for no reason. He doesn't say, I object. He's not, like, inserting himself. He's not drunk. He comes in because he realizes that Eric doesn't have the rings and that Corey's going to need them. And he goes to Corey and he says, hey, I know you've kind of been a dick lately, but here these are. You go have your day. Am I interrupting? Am I kind of making it centered? Yes, but not intentionally.
Oh, I didn't think he did that at that point. I didn't think of him as centering himself then.
You said he interrupted. And so I wanted to say he did it because he went, he gave him the rings.
I'm talking about the push, bruh. I'm talking about
the push. Oh, no. Because here's what happened. At this point in time, he goes and he gives Corey the rings. And he's like, hey, thanks. You go get married. Have a good wedding day.
Well, no, what he says is, he's like, you should have, like, Corey says, I, like, Sean says something like, oh, I owe you an apology, or I should have apologized.
No, you owe me, yeah. He said, you don't have, like, I'll accept your apology later. Like I said, he's like, you're an addict, whatever. You go do what you came to do.
Yeah.
That today is about your wedding. Take it. Corey turns around and goes, excuse me? What do you mean, my behavior? What do you mean, I owe you an apology? And at that point in time, it is not up to Sean because Sean is like, oh, I was being cool with all of this.
Well, here's the thing.
You want to have this conversation? Let's have this conversation.
I disagree because Sean shows up and he's like, hey, I know who you are, right? Yeah. And despite all of that, we've been friends long enough to where I'm at least going to show up and give you these rings and let you have your day, except when you double down on something that makes me upset, at which case I'm going to then center myself into this whole thing again.
Here's the thing. It's not centering yourself. In my opinion, and I want to make everyone, it's not centering yourself. If, again, Sean is emotionally at his peak. He is sensitive. He is angry. He wasn't even going to show up. He put aside his pride to make sure that Corey had the rings. That took a lot. And he's like, you know what? I'm not even cool with what's going down. We haven't talked about this. You are, in his mind, you are throwing away 17 years of friendship, and you didn't even care if I didn't show up. But that's cool because I care about you and I put these rings. And then Corey is like, excuse you? What do you mean I owe you an apology? And Sean is like, look, I wasn't going to have this conversation, but if you want to have this conversation,
that's it. If Sean really believed all that shit he just told Corey, he would have accepted the fact that Corey may not apologize and he could have been okay with that because he really just wanted to show up for him for the sake of their years-long relationship. And then when Corey's like kind of doubling down on the shit, instead of Sean simply walking away.
But here's the thing. Sean did walk away. And like Sean walked away. Sean walked back to his seat. He didn't stand up there. And what I'm saying is you said he knows who Corey is. He knows that him walking away further, what has happened in that moment is Corey has decided he wants to do this here and now. And even if Sean left, Corey would have followed him. So you're right in the sense that Sean participates. But what I'm saying is, if you know Corey, you know, oh, you've decided you want to do this now. Because even if I leave, you're going to come after me. And we're still going to do it. So if you want to do it now, let's do it
I'm now. Not saying Sean is in the right. I'm not saying Corey is in the right. I'm saying both of these motherfuckers are wrong in everything. The way that Sean approaches Corey, the way that Corey approaches Sean, and the way that Corey goes, oh, you want to have this conversation? You know what? Right in the middle of my ceremony is a good time for it. Showing that he really don't give a shit about any of that. He doesn't care about anything. So it's just like one of those things where it's like, we're kind of like, I'm not even trying to like argue on the side of one or the other. I'm saying both of these dudes are way out of line in this.
Oh, I didn't think we were defending. I was over here explaining that Sean is emotionally sensitive. He put his pride aside. He went over to Topanga to say, hey, I'm not Topanga because she might as well not be there. He went over to Corey to be like, hey, I'm going to put my pride aside. Want to make sure you had your good wedding day. All right, peace, deuces. And Corey is like, wait. I'm going to pick a fight right now. And Sean's like, oh, you want to do that? And then what we really get is Sean is like hurt and upset. And then Corey goes, trailer trash. And no matter how many times I watch it, you always like, that is so disrespectful. Corey been holding on to that.
Eric laughing out loud, Sean's poor, is so funny. Who just talked to us about that?
Was it Jeff or Gary?
One of them was talking about this episode, and I was like, yes, I remember this moment. It's so funny the way Eric responds to that. Even though you're right, like Corey, oh, we know that he's overstepping. We know the history of Sean feeling inferior to Corey because of his status in class. And so for him to like do that is such a deep cut.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be.
But why is this not happening at the bachelor party? Why is this not happening the day before or the morning of, even like in the middle of the ceremony?
I agree with you. Sitcom. That's why. Sitcom. Yeah. But I will say, Corey going there is a way of Corey intentionally trying to sever ties. He is like, again, it is easier for him to be angry than it is for him to be sensitive and emotional about what's really going on.
Yeah.
And then that's when, you know, I give it to Ryder. Ryder is playing it so earnestly and emotional. And he's like, he won't talk about it.
Yeah.
And Corey says something along the lines of, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he goes, but we have to. Again, earnestly. And then Ben turns it for a comedic bit. He does it. It's a perfect transition.
Great. Yeah.
Now? And it's just like, okay.
I have to say, the performances are fantastic. Like, my issue is more with some of the structure or the writing or whatever, but like the performances that everyone gives, I think is fantastic. What you're talking about right there, where Sean is like he has to kind of emotionally break down. The reason why it doesn't feel so egregious to the average watcher is because the performances are so heartfelt that you are able to kind of swallow back these thoughts of what's going on at this wedding because they're able to sincerely convey their feelings for each other in this moment. And so, like, I think the performances actually save the episode a lot.
I agree with you. I needed to talk about that fight. And again, the resolution where like they've been having it out. Also, side note, Amy singing. Why are we doing this? Look.
Amy singing is so funny because I was like, you brought this up at season 6 finale when Corey's parents were going to meet Topanga's parents for like the first time, whatever. And he's like, mom, don't sing. You're not a good, don't, please don't sing. And you're like, when has that ever been brought up? And here it is, shoehorned in again. And it was like,
exactly. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird beat so we can have something going on in the background that allows for the fight to kind of like take over.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought it was weird. Anyway, going back to it, resolution.
I think what it happened was is that people probably knew that Betsy had a really good voice and they've been trying to just like find a way to throw it in there, much like they did with what's the actress who played Morgan. And so I was fine with it. And it was fine to have on in the background. That was not my biggest like what's going on moment.
No, it's not my biggest. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna come back. We're gonna have to do the whole wedding over again. But we're just getting through the Corey and Sean of it all. Then this idea of again them being vulnerable, them having the conversation of being like, hey, things are gonna change. Do you really like her? Yes, I do. Okay, you have my blessing. Which again is unhealthy, but it is nice. Again, the entire episode is kind of a who gives this man away? And it's Sean who gives Corey over to Topanga. Then at the reception, when they are doing the toast, And Sean, again, making it about himself, I'm not going to lie. Sean kind of says, he's been my best friend. We've always done everything together. But today is the last day of us being best friends because he has to have a new best friend. To me, that is heartfelt. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed even like the repeat beat of, and when he gets on your nerves, call me, you know, like all of those things that, again, everyone's kind of acknowledging who Corey is, but it also is like a really true moment between Sean and Topanga, even because, again, they understand where we are as characters, not where we would be in real life, but as characters.
I like the speech. I thought the toast is really good. I like how he addresses their friendship and kind of like gives us a little kind of reference to the history that they have together. I think that at some point in the episode, Feeny or Alan or someone could have came over to them and just said, hey, you can still have a friend after you get married. That would have kind of calmed a lot of this. But this whole, you know, he's your new best friend. And from a writing perspective, in terms of just like, oh, this is like a good speech, I felt like it was very good.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so do you have anything else to say about Corey? And I would Corey just, thought of it all.
I would just say, because I don't feel like Topanga really falls under kind of the Eric stuff that I want to talk about. I just want to say that in general, if I were Topanga, I would never forgive Sean for this wedding day. And
it's the dude she's marrying. Let's not forget. You say you blame Sean.
I'm saying from a girl who has committed to marrying a dude for who he is, she's accepted Corey for who he is. I'm saying that like, in terms of reflecting back on her wedding day, on the pictures, the videos, whatever, I feel like she would have major beef with Sean from this episode. That's all I'm saying.
And see, I think you can't accept Corey for who he is and be mad that Sean did this. Because if you're accepting of Corey, then you understand that Corey comes with Sean.
This is what whiteness does, Brad. We have us just being like, well, if you're going to accept this, then you got to accept this, and you got to accept that. You have no standards. Before you know it, you've accepted all kinds of erratic behavior as normal. And I'm just trying to just take a step back. Guys, no one is in the right here. Corey, I don't approve. Sean, I don't approve. And I feel like Topanga should have beef with both of these dudes. But
if you accept Topanga's choices for him, are you saying that you know Topanga better than Topanga knows Topanga?
I don't think Topanga knows Topanga, if I'm being real.
So you are saying that you know Topanga better?
Yeah.
You're saying women shouldn't have choices? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying she needs better choices.
I'm saying that I'm accepting Topanga for the choices that she has made. And I agree with you. These are not choices that I would make. But we ain't talking about me.
Yeah, we ain't talking about it. And that's, I'll get over it. I know you guys, I've been harping on this. I'll move on. But this is overall, Topanga deserves better.
Okay. So anything else about the Corey and Sean and the wedding of it all?
No, I just want to say I liked the dancing with the parents at the end. Yeah. I like when Topanga calls Alan dad. Alan's probably more of a father figure in her life than her own dad. So like I just thought that was a cute moment.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about the B storyline of it all. And in the B storyline, we get Eric, who is fighting to be best man. He gets to be best man. To your point, this is kind of on everyone else because Eric, they sent Eric to do a simple thing, which they should have known, you know, hijinks, whatever. And then he's like, oh, I have a limo waiting outside and the tux is waiting outside. Everyone get in the car, which it is a funny little beat of like everyone in their underwear. Everyone woos at Jack, but I'm like, Alan is right there and Alan is giving good body. So let's not just
on by Alan. Ooh.
But yeah, like, no, I'm not saying that Jack ain't giving it. I'm saying that like if we gonna woo, let's woo everybody.
Well, the show really wants us to find Jack attractive, so much so they wrote in a child saying, Jack, you're hot for no reason.
We're gonna come back to all of this, but Eric comes back and he says, oh, you think I'm gonna let my brother get married here? Which, again, I was like, why are we doing this in the living room? Y'all ain't got a backyard? We know that you have a backyard. What are you doing? I would even take Feeny's place. Let's clear that place out. But, like, anywho, and where is the dean, by the way?
Who?
Exactly.
Who?
Anyway.
Has she been in this season at all? I don't think she's a regular anymore. I don't think she's whatever the second thing to regular is.
She was in the first episode because that's how we get it. Wait, or is that just season six? You're right. I can't remember.
Never again.
Never again. We never see her again. Anyway, all that said, they go off. And they're at this new location.
Well, yeah, like, they all decide to follow Eric. They're like,
well, he says the girls are already on their way. And I'm like, we don't have cell phones. How do you tell all of these new guests where the new wedding location is?
This is what I'm talking about. Because he says he was on the paint phone when all this happened. So I'm sure he was able to make some calls or whatever. But it's one thing to call two or three people and be like, hey, we're changing locations. But like, remember when they tried to throw the rave and they were trying to change locations at the last minute and they were running around? It was a whole hassle.
It's the no day hassle. Of.
The day the of. Day no of. Hassle. Also, the whole storyline is dependent on us believing that Eric was capable of pulling off a wedding heist. He saw a wedding being set up and was able to have the wherewithal and the intellect to be like, okay, if I call so-and-so, if I say this, I can steal this other couple's wedding. And yeah, it's kind of a wild concept.
It is a wild concept until they introduce when they say, what kind of moron would fall for this? And it's someone who's exactly like Eric, played also by Will Friedle. That is your explanation. You're like, how could this possibly be? What kind of idiot would fall for this
thing? I'm saying, bro, you just got married. How many vendors did you have to like say hello to? Did you have to like organize? Like, you had a wedding planner, right? Did they not talk to you? Like, I'm just saying there's too many people involved in a wedding day for you to be like, oh, I fooled this one person, so we're good. It's like, no, is this wedding even legal?
I agree.
Said I pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. fucking Peterson. Like, that's not who you are.
To your point, I completely agree. Like, I was watching this being like, oh, first of all, the day of, like, they have it to where this entire wedding is set up already. And I'm like, okay, so what did you either you sent the other couple somewhere else, or you're saying that they set up the entire wedding before it was supposed to start. Hours ahead of time, they were just prepared.
I think that's what we're supposed to believe, that they were having like an evening wedding and that they all set up in the morning. He's like, hey, it's 1 o'clock, I'm gonna get in there and get out before anyone shows up.
But
I think
anyone who knows anything about weddings knows,
but it's like, well, the catering's not ready, none of these tables are there. Like, it would not have worked. Also, not only would he have had to invite everyone who was going to the Matthews living room, which let's be honest, was probably 12 people. To this thing, he had to then cancel all the other guests that were showing up to the original wedding. There's too many factors. That's what I mean.
Exactly.
You have to move quickly because the moment you slow down, shit starts to fall apart.
No, I completely agree, because how does Sean know where they are? Again, they've changed. Sean said he wasn't coming. So how does he know where the new location is? Did Eric leave it on their answering machine? Like, it's weird. It's a weird thing. And I'm pointing out that kind of doesn't work. Like I said, I already mentioned the wedding dress and how that has changed. The bridesmaids' dress has changed.
Just a quick throwing that out there. I loved the wedding dress and the bridesmaids' dresses. I thought everyone looked great. For a wedding dress, where wedding dresses don't typically age very well from decade to decade, I actually think for like 1999 or whatever this was, like, great wedding dress.
I think the wedding dress and the bridesmaid dresses are actually timeless. I think they're really good.
Yeah.
Angela
hot this episode.
Angela giving hot. It.
Yeah.
Dawn's hair, give it like
if Jack was looking, everyone came correct. Yeah.
Everyone came correct. This is a good hair episode for everybody.
Great. Yeah. 100%.
They made sure that they brought it. Also some things that I had looked in. Someone pointed out that the hotel, at least the outside facade, is the same exterior that they used for the Tipton Hotel in Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, interesting.
The maitre d' is the same maitre d' from Promises. That he's the same guy.
Yeah.
It's almost like, so did he get a promotion? And did he
it's
like
the same hotel? Interesting.
Oh, okay. And then as I said earlier, it's only been a week and yet we have brand new dresses and all this other stuff. It's very weird. I'm not gonna pretend like this isn't surreal, and we don't have to make a lot of leaps and jumps in logic. I do love that Eric has that moment where he goes, This is the Eric plan. Like, all right.
And you know what? I will say this. If you're watching season four or something like that, season three in the older Boy Meets World episode, jumping to here, this might seem kind of fantastical. But at this point, we've seen Eric do some really ridiculous shit. Like after the Truman Show episode, like what can't be true in this universe anymore? There's a little like... I don't know what the white equivalent is to a magical Negro, but Eric has somehow like turned into this very like almost magical character of just like, well, if we can't figure out how to do it logistically, we'll just say Eric figured it out. And because he's so wacky, the audience will just go with it.
Yeah.
And again, Will's performance makes it so that you're able to just enjoy it. But you start asking questions and things get murky.
Last week, we gave thousands of dollars to a monkey man, and that monkey man brought it back. And you want me to have qualms with a storyline where Eric, a TV buffoon, is able to trick another buffoon into giving him an entire wedding? Nope, I don't have a problem with it. I will say... they are very fortunate that the wedding dresses and everything matched the decor that was already there. They are very lucky. Like, I am surprised if we want to take it, Ellen and Amy purposely, because they all acknowledge that this doesn't make sense. Alan's like, I ain't asking no questions.
Because Alan's like, I'm not paying for this, so it don't matter. He's like, whatever's going on, it's not coming out of my wallet, so I'm fine with it.
If and you want to call me honestly, Mr. Peterson, yeah, let's do this.
Alan I will was the sign one I could, yeah. I could side with Alan more than probably anyone else.
Also, to your point, where's baby Joshua? I'll wait.
That was probably him. In the ceremony, he sprouted, he grew.
Okay. Do you have a Brad moment?
I really just think fighting in the middle of a ceremony, interrupting the middle of a ceremony. We talked about this last season when they were like trashing at the other wedding and they interrupted the ceremony and we were freaking out. We were like, could you imagine if someone did that at your wedding? And then they did it again. And I just feel like it's really just kind of the bruh of it all is Topanga. It's like this was a very just like rude day for Topanga for like so many reasons. And I just at no point I don't think anyone thought like, how can we make the day special for Topanga as much as they were thinking like, how can we do it for Corey or how can we incorporate Sean? And it just kind of sucks. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know what you're talking about. They're like, we let you see your parents. This is a special day. You get
we allowed right. It's like, yeah. Beauty and the Beast rules. It's just like, well, if you're good, we'll let you see your parents.
Exactly. So they're like, we've done her the favor.
Yeah. All right.
Also, she does have a nice moment with, as you said, with Angela. Mm-hmm. But it's weird because they also literally just have like Rachel. Like, and I was like, we spent no time developing these friendships. It's so weird. But again, if you're going...
Did Corey and Topanga say anything to each other outside of the vows?
That is a very good point.
Kind of what I'm talking about.
Hey, I didn't say that I wanted this marriage. I said I enjoyed this episode. Those are two very different things.
What do you think the Feeny lesson is for this one?
Wait, I didn't give you my bro moment. Oh, which bro is...
Moment. Yeah, give me your bro
there
moment.
There are two moments where we have very young children, played by the Jacobs kids, hitting on older individuals. And I'm like, what are we doing? We get the little girl saying Jack is hot,
And which isn't even like, a joke, by the way. It's just like this thing of just like, hey, you are super hot. And he's just like, thanks. Like, why not have a joke in there? Like, hey, will you marry me or something like that? Like, hey, our wedding's after. Like, just, I don't know, make it worth something if you're going to do it.
If you're going to do it, I'm with you. Let's like actually write a joke instead of just having that be said. And again, nowhere, like, what do we want Jack to do with that information? So there's that. And then later on, we have the little boy who's hitting on Rachel. And again, it's just kind of like, what are we doing here? What is our end goal? Yeah. Like, that's it. I don't like when it's very weird when we have children hit on older people. I'm like, what is the goal? What are we doing? Is this funny? That's just wherever I'm at.
I feel like there's ways you can play it up for humor and kind of just be like, oh, it's cute that this kid thinks, you know, he's so grown or whatever, or she's so grown. But you could have the adult kind of just like, I don't know. Remember when Topanga had a crush on Eric in season 1 and they like, it was kind of cute and he kind of talked to her about it and was like, hey, this isn't super cool. Like, I just, you know, sometimes they handle it better than other times.
Maybe in the two-parter that
this unfilmed two-parter. It's the Snyder cut of this wedding.
In the Snyder cut of this wedding episode. Okay, and then the Feeny lesson to me, I think, is it's around the idea of we all got to grow up sometime. This idea of okay, we've been the most important people in each other's life, but at this point in time, your best friend should be your wife, and I've got to let you go. I think that's the Feeny lesson.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. I think another Feeny lesson is just like, hey, commit to codependency. Like, if you're codependent upon your friend, and then your friend, like, gets in a relationship, like, then you have to get in a relationship so that you could transfer that codependency. And then if you feel like, you know, there's issues with you and that friend, like, whatever. Like, it's all about supporting codependency.
Y'all, I tried to keep him. I tried to make it positive. I tried to get him.
Like this idea, like, oh, you're married. You don't get to have a best friend anymore. You don't get to have friends anymore is the lesson of this. Like, hey, we're all growing up. Things change. And, you know, once you get married, you're basically dead. I.e. the episode title, when you're married, you're dead from season 6. They're committing to it. And that's fine. They've been telling us this is how they felt about marriage. And it's fine. I'm here.
I don't have anything else to say to you. I honestly, like, I enjoyed the episode. So that does make me wonder, what grade are you giving this episode?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. I didn't really love it. I just, overall, my big thing is that, like, it was a fun episode. I loved Eric. I thought he was great humor. I could appreciate the Corey and Sean stuff. But after 7 seasons of buildup, after I didn't, I'm running away from my parents to be with you. After I proposed to you at our graduation, after we took an entire, we almost got eloped. And then we took a year to figure out what we wanted to do. And then we almost got married again. And now it's like finally happening. But you haven't talked to me. We're not talking to each other. We're not even talking about our relationship. We have a little blip in a Corey and Sean episode. And overall, that's disappointing to me. As much as everyone's like, hey, Corey and Sean, they're the main relationship, that's fine. But like, we didn't have Jack shoe into Eric's storyline with the kid that left, I forget his name, I apologize. So it's like, why can't we just give Topanga a moment? Why can't we give Topanga something? She didn't go to Yale. She gave up Yale for this. And this is the wedding she got from it. And it kind of sucks for her. C+ episode.
C+. Wow. Wow. Hey, that your grades are your grades. I can't do nothing about that, baby. I am giving this episode an A- because we did really talk about this. But I actually thought Eric was annoying in this episode.
Oh, and interesting.
I usually am here for like Will's antics, but I felt that with the exception of the Sean's poor line and the we came from the same womb, our dad's shared room, like there are certain lines where, but there are also moments where I'm like, all right, this feels a little manic. It feels a little forced, just like his performance in it. So A-.
Well, also, none of this makes sense if you're watching this directly after last week's episode where he set multiple fires every time he was left alone. Yeah. And yet this week, he's magic.
I am choosing A minus.
All right.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay. Enjoy.
You guys, we appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed this conversation so much. Please listen to our Patreon for conversations where we're going to cover Pod Meets World reactions 402 and 403. We also are now going to go over to our interview with Tyler Young.
Hey,
how's it going?
Hey, is that a Captain Planet hoodie?
It is.
Hey, it is.
That's kind of your signature, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, no, I'll give him a little shout out. Bull Airs makes some amazing stuff, and he sent this to me a while back, and I don't think he expected it to blow up, but every single video I have it in, people kind of go nuts over it. So
it's always good. Thank you so much for joining us. Like I reached out to you because you host the 90s Kid Throwback Instagram, and it is and TikTok, I believe, right?
Yep.
And it's so big, and you are known for deep diving into 90s kids lore. I was like, Boy Meets World is just that. How did you even get into content creating? What, like, how did you get started?
Man, it's kind of a whirlwind. When I first started, it was supposed to be just a meme page, and I have an editing background at high school and a little college, and so when I was able to kind of transition into the phone aspect of it, my wife was like, you should, you know, start putting yourself in there. You know, I have a big toy collection. I'm a big kid at heart. And so I slowly started implementing myself, and then it kind of took off. And it honestly, man, it kind of happened overnight. It was kind of weird. Like one day I had like nobody, and then a month later it was like, it just kind of exploded.
That's how that happens all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so curious because obviously me and Siege, we love Boy Meets World, and that's the passion that kind of got us into starting this whole content creation thing. What was there a single piece of media from the 90s that like was like, oh, I'm so weirdly obsessed with this and I have to share it, and that kind of like sprung something else? Like what was it from the 90s that really pulled you into like, oh, that's my niche?
And this is kind of a bittersweet thing. I had a pretty rough childhood at times. And so I think, in retrospect to that, you know, when cartoons and, was really the golden age of the 90s, right? I mean, it was kind of at its peak when technology was kind of booming. And I think that just all that together, you know, outside of some of my favorite shows, Goosebumps, Are You Afraid of the Dark, you know, a lot of Nickelodeon stuff. And Fox Kids, all that stuff, and Disney Channel. And when you look back, you're so purely innocent as a kid, and all that stuff meant so much. And I think as adults, we kind of lose that innocence, right? And so my job is just, you know, I try to bring it back to that, because my friends, whenever we talk about this kind of stuff, I'm sure we're about to talk about, people will be like, how do you remember all that stuff? And I'm just like, how did you forget?
How
like,
did you not?
I love that.
Yeah.
It's who you, it's me, you know, it made you who you are. So
that's such a great way that you said that, because exactly that with Boy Meets World, we started doing this because we were like, wait a minute, this was so fundamental. And as you said, like, as a child, television, a lot of us latchkey kids, that was like my escape from the world. That's what I did. I watched television. I got to know every single character. I got to go know all of the tropes. TC and I talk all the time about the fact that Boy Meets World was a show that I built my identity around when I was a child. And I was like, wait, let's look at this and see if any of the lessons that I learned as a child were good. And some of them were great. And some of them I'm like, oh, I see where I got the problem from.
Yeah. Like, for example, we were just talking about the movie Blank Check. And I don't know if you've watched that movie recently. It's really problematic throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
Why do you think millennials specifically are so about nostalgia? Like, what do you think that is?
You know, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with a coworker today, and I said that I think that millennials really got the best of the bunch. You know, we grew up, I think we're really growing up in one of the craziest times of just human in general, you know, human race. And we are the only, and this is crazy, every time I say it, we are the only generation that will see from being a child, as a kid, the dawn of technology from basically nothing to what it is now. And it will never revert back to that. And so we got to see the first of it. We got to see it explode. And that is something that I think us millennials should hold to our heart, because there will never be another time when, I mean, unless, it starts over, when that will happen, So it's, yeah, I think being a millennial is really special in that regard. And being a 90s kid is really special, and 80s too, and early 2000s and stuff. And it's when there was a time when I think everything was kind of just a little different.
So another so we've kind of brought this up a few times, but Boy Meets World, 90s show. What content have you done around Boy Meets World? Why do you think Boy Meets World stands out as a 90s show? Where are you at?
Boy Meets World honestly is probably one of my, if I network wise, is one of my favorites from Disney Channel. I had three sisters growing up, so when I first watched Boy Meets World, I was into it because I think, as most of us 90s kids, it was one of the most realistic children's shows out
Yes.
there. And that relatableness, that's a word, but we
Relatability.
could relatability, we could all, relate to them. And having the rough, like me and Sean, like I totally understood some of the stuff he went through. And I think my sisters were into the drama, and all that. And so between the two, when they would do the marathons, especially, like we would just sit down on a weekend all day and just watch, the whole thing. And it was special to me. And honestly, my favorite character, I know this is a little off topic, but Mr. Feeny, I think, to
Best.
me, he just gave, not just them, but you could tell it was like he was speaking to us, like he was speaking to all the kids that are watching. And I mean, it was kind of a blessing, because they just don't make stuff.
It's really funny. We just talked about the fact that in our previous episode, Feeny gives the kids a lesson in college. And we were like, we haven't really gotten that. And we don't really get intergenerational storytelling in that way. And you reminded me that there was something about Mr. Feeny that it's kind of like Mr. Rogers almost, where it's like he, or Steve from Blue's Clues. And it's like he's not talking directly to us in the way that they did. But he is in a way that we received it, at least.
Connecting to us in a way where they're talking to us as humans instead of kids.
And it's characters like that, you have to think that he had probably some influence on his script. I think it's the dialogue that he used. Some of it was, chippy, like little segments, but when he went into one of those spiffs, it was almost like he was speaking from the heart, and actors like that, they, when they go above and beyond like that, they're trying to speak to you. So
Definitely.
What are some of the most memorable Boy Meets World moments that you can think of?
Oh,
You're all
I
about
knew you were
Boy
going to
Meets,
say that.
the highlight moments. So what are some of the ones?
Let's see. On the top of my head, I'd say the wedding one, the one that we're, that one, I was, when you said it, I was like, okay, good, because I know that one pretty well. But that was an iconic moment. I would say when John's dad dies, that was a big one. I went through something similar, so that one struck a chord as a kid. There's so many moments in that. That's so loaded, because I feel like in their lifetime of that show, like, because when it started, I was about Corey's age, like on the show. So when they kept it going, it was like you kind of grew up with them. And so there was so many moments in those individual growing up moments. Like when Topanga first kisses Corey at the locker, like that was hilarious. And when, let's see, there's one in particular. I'm trying to think of the Mr. Feeny one. It's the one with him and Eric when Eric messes up or something.
Too
Yeah,
many.
Mr.
I'm gonna say
Feeny.
Eric messes up a lot. We're gonna need you to be a little bit less
Yeah. I mean,
specific.
obviously the Feeny call, Feeny, Feeny,
Yeah,
classic.
always classic.
So it's the show is just great, top to bottom. I mean, I don't think there's an episode that they put out that wasn't good.
Sure.
Trust me, we do this show. There is, but
You know, we've been talking about Boy Meets World. You've mentioned a few other ones. What other shows do you like have better episodes more often than not for you?
man, again, that's such a loaded question.
You see.
It's like I cover so much 90s stuff when it's like I have to really think about it. I'm like, all right.
You mentioned Are You Afraid of the Dark, which I'm a huge fan of as well.
I would say that one in particular because it was the first show that really came out that was geared towards kids, but it was the 90s was still in a territory where they didn't have a lot of laws or rules when it came at that time to kids. So I think they kind of went a little above and beyond with the horror aspect. And it was freaky. I mean, there's stuff like my daughter's watched it and she wanted to watch it. And I said, hey, I'm letting you know right now, this like isn't a normal kids show, you know? She's like, oh, it's okay. And I can't remember. We watched the Ghastly Grinner. And
Yes.
if you guys remember the Joker with the
Yes.
stuff out of his
Yep.
mouth.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't watch it after that. And
Yeah.
I told her, I said, it's a different show. It was a different time. You know, Rugrats and Hey Arnold are another two that stick out.
Hey Arnold,
Rugrats, it
so
was,
good. Rugrats are great. Yeah.
Rugrats is
But hey,
great to watch as adults because you see the adult
adults
jokes
for
and you understand like that meme of Stu just being like, it's 3:30 in the morning, Stu. And it's like, yeah, no. I understand Stu now. Like I get it in a way that I never did before. Charlotte is also a character. Charlotte Pickles is a character that, like, in retrospect, you're like, more of her. Girl boss. Yes.
I felt the
Yeah,
same way about Hey
that's
Arnold, where like I went back and watched it and I was just like, the music in this show is so good. The vibes of this, like, I just want to live in the vibes of this world. It's so well put together.
just the jazziness and the city aspect that they threw into it. And
Yeah.
it another realistic show, right? His parents were gone, nobody forever knew what happened, and just his friendships and like the things that he went through on a daily basis. Like, yeah, it was still cartoonish and the stories were a little wacky, but the meaning behind it, like with his grandparents, like it always came back around to like some realism. And it's one of those shows like you just don't see that anymore in cartoons.
Last question for me, at least, is you do a lot of 90s nostalgia stuff, including 90s snacks. What was your favorite 90s snack?
Oh, we're getting into it. We're
Tony, I'm
getting
gonna
into the
ask you too.
real
Yeah.
shit. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna get real. 90s snack. You know, it's funny because there's a lot that are still around today that have just kind of just they just don't make them the same anymore. But back
Yeah.
then, like Gushers back then were one of my favorite snacks. And they
Yes.
came in the foil
Oh,
packs, not
yeah.
the plastic now. And there was like 15 of them, not like five. But you know the oh my God, the Fruit Stripes bubble gum that just got canceled, basically that one hits home. I used to put tattoos all over my face and just you know whatever. There's so many. You guys might remember this. This one isn't as well known, but every time we have a place up here in the Pacific Northwest called Winco. It's just a grocery store. So I went in there as a kid. We lived right down the street. And every time we went in there, they always had this little like pack. It was like a little bag full of like little gold nuggets. It was gum, but it looked like miner's gold. And it was called like gold something, but like gold nuggets or something had a little miner on it. I would get those every single time I went to the store.
I remember the packaging. I don't think I ever got it because beside that you had baseball chew, which
Oh,
again, terrible habit that they want you to replicate. And then you
yeah.
also had candy cigarettes. So if I was going to choose my vice as a kid, I was going baseball chew.
Oh, I went candy cigarettes every time.
Yeah,
Tony,
I
what
would
was
say, yeah. The cigarettes. I remember, it's funny, you don't see them anymore in my kids' trick-or-treating stuff, but like back then it was like that was half your snacks, you know, it was just the chalky, you know, cigarette sticks. But
They were
Dunkaroos,
terrible.
that was another one. Yeah.
Dunkaroos. I was waiting for you to say Dunkaroos. You got to bring those
Yeah,
Dunkaroos in.
Dunkaroos. I still eat to this day. We go shop at Costco a lot because we feed a zoo. So I get Dunkers every time they got them. So,
yeah. Tony, what were your favorite 90 snacks?
Oh, so many. Yes. I was a huge Bagel Bite fan. I loved the oatmeal cream pie Little Debbie snacks.
Oh, my God.
I still eat those.
Fudge rounds. I actually, I'm not going to lie, I think most of my weight in high school was because I would spend every dime that I got on a fudge round. I think I had a fudge round every day.
It's Do you guys remember the Squeeze-Its before
yes.
they came out with yep. the... Yeah, those and all the Little Debbies, the little Nutter Butters, you used to take them off one piece at a time and eat
Kids
the little.
Today
like,
will not understand the chokehold the Little Debbie had on us.
Those bitches used to be yes. 25 cents.
They were so cheap.
Yes. 25 cents.
Speaking yeah, of which, yeah. the other thing I loved, and I think they don't make them the same anymore, is Warheads. They're not sour anymore.
Yeah.
Not like they used
no.
to be. They used to be like dangerously sour. And like yeah. you would honestly make the face that they have on the little ad, the cartoon face. But now I've tried mm-hmm. one recently and they're not that bad. I don't know. Maybe
and
I've...
you couldn't eat too many of them, right? Because yeah. then you couldn't feel your tongue for a week, right? And because all the acid they put on the candy.
Yeah, I and, think someone this... died or something. There was like a Four Loko type of situation where they were like, we have to change the recipe.
Well, to your point, I was going to say, did you guys have, because I remember we had the Warhead Challenge. Like, again, this is all kid stuff. Where like, you would put in.
Yeah, how like, many can you fit in your mouth? Yeah.
Yeah. Kid stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I would say the last one, this is going to throw you guys back. We were really poor growing up, so like we couldn't always go get Pixie Sticks and all the cool candy that, you know, was on the shelf. So me and my brother, we would go and get a Kool-Aid pack, like 10 cents. Remember when they
yep.
were like 10 cents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we would go home. We would take 2 cups of sugar, pour it in a bag. We'd take the mix. We'd shake it up. We'd take a spoon and we'd just... Yeah, you know, lick it like it
your
was
your own
a
little.
Dip.
What is it called? Dip.
Sticks? That's fun dip. That's
the,
yeah,
fun dip.
Fun dip.
That's a DIY. That's yep. being thrifty. That's in this yeah. economy.
And our,
bring that back.
Our parents let us do it. You know, at the end of the day, we're just, you know, just on a huge sugar rush.
You made me understand now that part of the reason why all millennials are depressed is we just don't have as much sugar as we used to. We were
yeah,
just riding high.
Remember when they would just give us soda as children, like as young,
yeah.
young children?
Fruitopia.
Yeah. Fruitopia. All sugar.
Pure syrup.
Yep. Sobe, all that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Sobe. Wow.
Tyler,
in the glass bottle. Oh, sorry.
No. You're right. In the glass bottle, which again, on campuses, in terms of what is it called? Vending machines, probably not smart at all.
No.
I just want to say, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. We wanted to, like, again, have this, like, little throwback because you've made me realize 90s in general really did help build us. And on top of that, all of it, like, you, me, Tony, we just had, like, a great time bonding. I think this is, like, the most I've smiled all day because I'm just remembering all of these, like, little fun things. And I think it's important to access that part of that childish part of myself, which I will admit I haven't done in quite some time. So
and I also say that, like, in terms of, you know, you were talking about how we are the generation that saw this evolution. You know, the 90s seem like, in retrospect, a very slow decade compared to the decades that followed. Everything feels so fast. And I think because we didn't have the technology, because there wasn't like a new update every day of, like, you know, seeing news from around the world, like there wasn't really much of that. It was just like, you know, you had your 3 or 4 shows or maybe cable if you were lucky. But, you know, there was only so many things we had to worry about at that time. And it just feels like we're all kind of hungry for, like, being that free of worry or stress the way we were, you know, in that a pre 9/11 world.
Yeah, everything was so simple, right? That's the word. It was just simple. And, you know, waiting 5 minutes for a page to load up on your dial up, you know, or getting bored with that, and, you know, maybe you didn't have your cereal box that had the 7 free days. So you had to go play the Microsoft pinball, you know, whatever.
Yes.
It just,
your
things like that.
Free CD player. You couldn't tell me nothing when I got that.
Yeah.
I love what you're talking about with the dial up. I was like, you could go bake a whole easy bake cake while you were waiting. For it.
Can I tell you guys a quick little story? It's really funny. So you guys remember KB Toys, I'm sure,
yep,
right? In the malls. Okay. So I mowed my lawn one time. We had an acre. So I mowed my lawn one day for $5, right? Back then, that's just what dad gave me. So I had $5, went in the store. Now, back then, $5, you could get a pretty good action figure, you know, or something. So this was probably 97, 98. I was probably like 8 years old. So I go in there and I got down to two things. Now, I'm a toy collector, okay? So a lot of those toys that were $5 are now probably hundreds of dollars. So I had a choice. So remember, guys, remember Street Sharks?
Yes.
Of course, okay. Street Sharks.
Okay. So they had a very rare set that came out, but it didn't do well on the like retail side. And it was Street Sharks, I think, in space. And then
of course, that sounds very 90s.
It was on clearance for $4.97. I'll never forget. And then there was this Walkman, that like a radio, because I always wanted, I walked everywhere. So I just never had a CD player for a while. This was right before the anti-skip. So I kind of had to choose between the two. Dad was kind of rushing me, and I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to this a lot more. So I got the Walkman. Well, out of the blue, when I first started this, I remembered this story. And I was like, you know what? I wonder what that's worth today. So I went and looked it up. Okay. It's like $1,200.
I was going to say, like, don't tell me it's going to hurt my heart.
It's so bad. I'm like, I would have lost the toy anyway. But like, it just shows you the love for the nostalgia.
Absolutely.
And what that, you know, not that money means anything, but like when you see that value of it, it just shows what it meant to people.
Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but like as 90 kids, what the one thing you always heard as a child was, you got KB toy money. Well, we got KB toy money now. Well, not now, because now the toys are too expensive. But
yeah.
The moment we got
well, some now, KB toy money. Yeah. Now they're trying to recreate everything for us as adults because they're like, well, these new kids, all they want is technology, you know. So
and they are right, because if you don't think I would go to a Hunker Burger, you're wrong.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, there's plenty of places up here that have shut down that locally used to be here, and it makes me very sad. So
yeah.
No, again, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else that you want to promote? Anything else that you want to let our listeners know? Yeah,
you know, I would say the biggest thing that I really want to stress to people is we touched on it about like childhood and, you know, that innocence part.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, be a big kid. You know, this life is way too short to be serious. I get a lot of DMs that are pretty serious sometimes, and I feel really bad for those people. But at the same time, I just stress to them, like, don't, you know, don't live in the past, but don't forget what made you who you are, you know, and it's okay to find the good things out of that if it was not good, you know, to remember the good things about it. So, you know, that would be my biggest thing is, you know, just love where you came from.
That's such a great message, man. We really appreciate that. Thank you for your time. And we will be continue to reaching out to you on the social media.
Yeah. Thanks so much for
I appreciate
being
it, man.
The nerd with us, because we love just talking shop. We love just getting geeky with people. Like, this is what we constantly do.
Yeah, and you know, I'm always down, guys. Just let me know whenever, and I'm here for you. So
absolutely. Thanks. Have a good one, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Guys.
Thanks, Tyler, so much. He was
he
brought back so many memories. And I'm not gonna lie, I now have like post-traumatic stress about the little Debbie sack cakes, because not only am I remembering how cheap they used to be, but I am remembering how often I ate those. And maybe I'm not doing so bad with my weight, considering how many of those I ate.
When we started talking about the snacks, I was just like, oh yeah, we used to eat shit all the time. Marketed for kids. Even just like our commercials that were centered for kids were all like, hey, you want this sugar? Like,
yeah, exactly. That Kraft, was a weird time. Remember that little Kraft crackers? That cheese had to be like 87% plastic.
That was government cheese, bro. That had to be government cheese.
Oh god, I love it. Thank you, Tyler, again for joining us. And you guys, you can listen to the extended cut of our conversation with Tyler on our Patreon. And I think it's time for us to get into some homework. What homework do you have this week?
You know, okay, so I have a lot of homework that I've been thrown uh-huh. that's been thrown at me, and there's a lot of things I've been suggested to watch. I have not done any of that. What I've done instead had I've downloaded Peacock, and I was perusing around, and I saw that they had season 3 of Chucky, and I started watching it, and I fucking love this show, bro. I've always loved this show. I've talked about it multiple times. It's so great. The way that they're doing horror movies as television seasons, I want every franchise to do this. I want a Nightmare on Elm Street series. I want a Jason series. I want it. Everything should be done as a series, because the way that they're making modernizing Child's Play, season 3 is all set with Chucky found his way into the White House, and he's the president's son's toy. Wow. And yes, and I know it sounds like Leprechaun is spacey, right? Like it sounds yeah. like a jump too far, but yeah. it actually kind of works for me. And I'm like, I've never seen a horror movie set in the White House before. Like, this yeah, is
that's a good point.
Cool. There's maximum security. There's security guards that are like, we found the body, but we can't let this get out. We have to hide it, kind of thing. And so, like, there's interest to it, and also still at the center of it is this very beautiful queer love story about these two boys who are just turning 17, and they're like, do we want to take our relationship sexually to the next level? And it's like,
what is with like queer boys again? Is this show just like they Chucky finds a queer couple to protect? Is that what it is now?
Well, no,
you told me about a queer storyline earlier.
They're the central couple in all series. Like they're the ones okay. who carry through from series to series. We're following them in their journey to track down Chucky. But it's really this ongoing love story that they're okay. kind of having and figuring out as teenage boys, like, how do we navigate this? And it just makes it so respectful and beautiful. And I'm only a few episodes in, but I've had a blast watching this show. It was never anything I intended to watch. I intended to start my Oscar, like, nom, like, oh, let me just watch, you know, what got nominated. Instead, I saw Chucky season 3. So
yeah, do what makes you happy. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So it's so funny that you said that. A few things that are connected to what you had just said. Number one is my husband and I have been doing a rewatch of Scandal. This Ooh. Is not my homework, but we've been doing a rewatch of Scandal because he had never seen it. And I looked at it, I was like, this was made for you. Like, the things that, like, my husband loves that kind of, like, tawdry soap opera romance above all. Like, all of that is his thing.
So I remember watching a Scandal clip with you just at your house for a movie. We were like, do you remember that speech from Scandal?
Yes!
We're
pulling it up. Yes! Exactly. We just got to that episode. But anyway, all that, so you were talking about White House and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because I remember watching it and being like, we've come so far with queer representation. Mm. At the time when Scandal was coming out, having a gay character was a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, just like, and now I'm like, oh, that's just so commonplace. So yeah. It really made me think about, like, just how far we've come. So there was that, the White House of it all Scandal. Not my homework, but just
I know. But can we just talk about that? We talked about my date with the president's daughters, Chucky season 3, and Scandal. It's an election year, y'all.
The election
it's
year.
An election year.
Speaking of casting your votes, I am doing my Oscar rewatch. Ooh. I have been going down the list. My homework for this week is Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, I've heard so many great things about this movie.
I cannot talk enough about this movie.
Wow.
Anatomy of the Fall is so good. It is, so I love this movie. I love what it has to say. I love the conversations around it. I am a little bothered with some of the things that I'm hearing from straight men, and I'm like a little disturbed, but I'm not surprised.
Never but surprised.
It is so interesting.
Can you give me a quick 2 second synopsis without spoiling anything?
A little really quick synopsis. Well, one of the things that I was going to say is, like, we just had our wedding episode, and this movie is about a woman whose husband shows up dead. And the only other witness is her blind son. And like, they talk about what happened. They talk about it. It turns into a court case halfway through. So that's not a spoiler. That's just the synopsis of the movie. But in doing so, we also explore their marriage. And the anatomy of a fall can also be the anatomy of their marriage.
Okay.
It's kind of like a marriage story in the French Alps. So again,
interesting.
It's very interesting. I want other people to watch it because I could write a dissertation on this movie, specifically what it has to say about marriages, specifically what it has to say about relationships in general, partners, what it is to be a supportive partner, what it is with the public court of opinion, what it is to be the wife in a dynamic, and the expectations we put on men in a marriage. Like, all of these things are really, really brought up and discussed. And specifically for this episode, where I was like, oh, we are discussing a marriage that you and I have already argued, oh, not really great, the best foot. So Anatomy of a Fall, I want other people to watch it.
For and those they did get the Oscar nom for best movie, right?
You get best an picture? Oscar nom. Yeah. It's, and to me, totally worth it. So go check that out. Let us know what you think. And you guys, by the way, Tony, I can't believe I almost forgot this. This is Black History Month. We will be in Black History Month once this releases.
Oh, well, happy Black History Month to you and to all of our listeners.
Happy Black History Month, y'all. We blacking it up.
We blacking it up. Siege, why don't you spit some Black History at us real fast? Go.
Oh, really? That's what you want? That's not happening. I don't just have flashcards like in my brain.
I'll go. Slavery. Let's start.
Okay, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you can follow us on our socials at Brum Meets World. You can reach out to us on all the platforms or at brummeetsworld@gmail.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube. You should join our Patreon. We have merch that you guys have been responding really well to. Thank you for everyone who's buying the Good Looking Guy shirt. And I don't know if you guys know this, but we just released a new merch piece on our store. Go check it out. Patreon.com/brummeetsworld.
Wait, Siege, question. Do our Patreon listeners get discounts on things like merch?
They do.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
So, little fun fact, you get extended episodes and you also get to hear more of us, which, I mean, that's why you're listening. So, as we will say, thank you to Tyler Young again for joining us. Make sure you check out at 90s Kid Throwback. And remember to dream.
Remember to try.
And to do good.
Do some damn good.
Later, Russ!
Later, Russ! This episode of Brum Meets World was produced by Siege and edited by Tony Curtis. Brum Meets World is a 2 Free Tokens media production.
Bye!
Bye. When the sport meets world.